Go ahead, Nancy.
You're muted, Nancy. Nancy,
oh, okay. I unmuted myself. I'm sorry. Okay. I just wanted to say that I think that this is a pilot, and so it's not like going to be, you know, I think it's perfectly fine for us to start this now. I think our board has the responsibility of setting up one of the options, at least one or more of the options that we have to get the extra money that we're going to need in September to start paying back the interest on the loan. And I think that so much of the concerns have been addressed already over the last several meetings on this, and this motion is very good in that it covers all those points that we've discussed over the last several months. And I just wanted to point out some amendments that I made. I just changed it to a one-year trial, and that the contracts will undergo a review by a committee that the PMB will set up. That gives them some leeway to, you know, to decide who will do that. I think it is important to do that for the various reasons that have been stated tonight. It doesn't have to be stop the contracts from being written. It can be done after the fact. And then the part about every contract will contain information to the underwriter to let them know the criteria of the Pacifica policy, as was stated in one of the lines. Then also, each underwriting contract template shall be individually negotiated as needed by the FCC attorney. And then I changed the length to 20 seconds. And also I added that the Pacifica National Board will prepare or assign preparation of the Pacifica policy and approve such policy that defines the criteria for accepting or denying underwriters. That's it. I just think it's important that we do vote on this and get it done by this PNB. I think if we wait, it's going to take it. You know, we need to do it.
Alex, okay. You're muted.
Yeah, I'm not muted now. I think Mansoor wanted to speak again.
And Jan, and me.
And Max.
Sure. Mine's going to be very brief. I think a development director at each station could take part in this and implement the policy, which would fit into their job to do this type of things. And Carol, unfortunately, you know, whatever it is that we have to do to save the foundation and move it into the whatever era that we need to be in, it's going to have to be implemented nationwide. And rest assured, some people are not going to like it, and some people see it as necessary. So it's just going to be part of us if we agree to have underwriting with a concrete policy. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay. Who else was on the stack?
Jan.
Jan and me and Maxie.
Jan, Carol, Maxie. Okay, Jan, go ahead.
Okay, I think that we should pass this tonight. I think we should vote on it tonight. Even if it's imperfect, we need to start moving. We need to actually get this going. I think that we can make amendments to it. We can make it more perfect. But I'm really in favor of voting on this tonight, sending it to the PNB and attempting to get it not only on the agenda but voted on, so so that we can actually start utilizing this. And you know, obviously I have all kinds of nitpicky things to say about it, but whatever form we have, again, I think we should vote on it. I will say this to Maxie's idea that the LSB is going to go out and figure out who businesses that we should solicit. I think we should ask them to do that, but I don't think it is a realistic. I think the people who are actually working at the stations will end up actually doing the legwork to locate people and so forth. So I think it's a nice idea to suggest to the LSB, but I'm in agreement with Carol that it's unlikely to bear sufficient fruit. I mean, there will be maybe one or two people who will really take this seriously and will go after trying to figure out who good underwriting people are, I mean, good potential prospects are. There's likely to be a couple of people, but probably not very many. So anyway, but I, in whatever condition we have this motion right now, I would like to vote on it before we end this meeting. Thank you.
It's Carol.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to send back Nancy's motion with another caveat that an underwriter who violates the terms of our contract will have the contract voided. I couldn't find that in what you wrote. Is it in there, Nancy?
Oh, yeah, I have it. Let's see. Every proposed underwriting contract must contain information to the underwriter to let them know that the contract will be null and void if they do not fit the criteria of the Pacifica policy, such as...
So that's in there. And I was going to add, and possibly face a nominal fine or something like that, because they shouldn't feel like,
we can
ride through it. You know, and if they catch us, it'll just be ended, and kind of, you know, I don't know. What do you think of that? I'm asking you, Nancy.
And Jan Goodman, can I weigh in on this in my lawyer?
There has to be something. You know, I think that's a good idea to have something to discourage them from violating it. Legally, I don't know what the best way to do it. Let's Jan.
Okay, but anyway, I'm putting that in. I'm adding that in red and sending it back to everybody as a way to to amend your version. And I'm sending it now. Okay. Thank you. That's all I wanted to say.
I'd like to propose some amendment.
Excuse me, before we go too much further, I do want to weigh in on the issue. This is Jan, on the issue of a downside if people violate our policy.
And don't forget, I'm at the.
I have a question for Carol or Jan about. Do these underwriting contracts typically take payment in the beginning for the whole thing, and if they violate it, maybe would they lose like their down payment or whatever that hasn't been spent yet or something?
I was just saying something that it just a fine with we that we don't specify here, but that we understand that we're going to do some thought and put something into that, and it may be something that we is individuated, and then some, you know. If they go at the end of their contract and they owe us nothing, then they fine. And if they've got a big, you know, anyway, blah, blah, blah. I'm stopping.
I think if you look at, I don't have it in front of me right now, but if you look at the sample contract from WM&F, it has a provision in there, if I recall, that the contract can be terminated by either party at any time without even providing a reason. So I think we could put something like that. We could insist that kind of a clause be in the contract. I don't think you have to get into imposing fines and things like that. I don't know how practical that would be.
Of course, a contract can be, that's good to put in the contract, but we're trying to have some provisions so that they're being honest about who they are. And that's not just, you know, we're trying to determine that, that's all.
I think that would, from a practical point of view, that would be, it would be very difficult to get people to sign a contract like that.
May I speak to this? Isn't that the purpose of the review committee, to determine that they're being honest?
Well, yeah. Let me propose some amendments that incorporate some of Nancy's changes. Well, okay, number one, do we want this pilot to include all the stations, or do we want to keep it exclusive to WPFW and WBAI?
Question, Alex.
You want to take a straw vote?
That's a question.
I have a question about your question. Sorry.
Yes.
I mean, is this a mandatory participation, or is it, if they want to participate?
There's nothing mandatory. It's up to, it would be up to the management of each station.
Oh, well, then all, yeah.
So
I'm for a pilot program at W and PAI.
They all have revenue urgency. There's not one station that's healthy. There's no reason to limit the pilot and the revenue opportunity to two. They all need it.
We need as much money as we can get ASAP. Let's put it that way.
Plus, it could be successful at one station and not super successful at others, but the money comes in anyway. So,
you're presuming that it doesn't take energy away from other things, and that it's just an opportunity that's to land in our lap. There's costs associated with underwriting.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
Part of the review process. We review if the effort and the money that went into generating the underwriting is more than offset by the income from the underwriting, obviously.
Yep, you can always evaluate the return on the investment. Several of the points Carol made are specific to commercial sales. They're not relative to underwriting. Most underwriting does not work on commission. That's a sales commercial media practice, not so much in the nonprofit public radio sphere. Very few stations do it by commission, particularly university.
Robin, to the stack, that's just not true.
Well, I'm university licensed, very seldom do it. I've worked at a number of outlets.
Every station in New Mexico does it by commission.
That's cool. I'm just saying that may not be the rule. That may be New Mexico. All the stations that I've worked at, none of them worked on commission for sales. And I've been at four.
Well, then they had a salary they were drawing.
Right. They of course. They get a salary, and they get paid to do their work. But it wasn't commission-based in the way that you're articulating, which is mostly a commercial media approach to it.
Well, then if they have a salary to be the person to go get the other stuff, that's a new cost of a salary person.
But if
they
return, you got to spend money to get money. I mean, it's not going to happen out of nowhere. And believe me, we've got folks doing work that spinning wheels and running on a treadmill and isn't bringing any return on investment. So I'd rather repurpose them in this way than keep them in what they may be doing currently, if, in fact, that's an issue.
For people's information, it is now 6 minutes to 7, and the time is up on this subject, and I think we're supposed to end in half an hour, and we've got a couple of other subjects.
Yeah. I did want to be on the stack, if I could just make one quick comment, Alex.
Go ahead.
I'm not in favor of the vote. I don't think that our motion is prepared, that it's proper for what we're trying to execute here. It not only is far removed from industry standard, I think we're trying to reinvent the wheel versus taking advantage of best practices. We have a membership in Greater Public, which provides templates for all aspects of underwriting. There's no reason we shouldn't rely on that for at least a guidepost. What we have here is so far off the beaten path that I think it would be more problematic to try to execute. It's almost like it's built to fail than otherwise. And the last comment I'll make is I thank Stan for commenting on my idea since no one else did. That's it for me. Thanks.
Okay. Do we have a motion to postpone consideration of the motion on the table till the next meeting of the Strategic Planning Committee?
I'll move to postpone the motion, Robin.
Okay. I think there are some disagreements on this, so I think we're going to have to go to a vote.
I do not disagree.
Oh, okay. Let me ask then, are there any objections to postponing consideration?
Nancy, I disagree. We can amend it when it gets to the PNB. I don't see what is preventing us from using best practices here.
Practically speaking, the next regular PNB meeting is going to be April 11th, and we're not going to have a chance. That meeting will almost definitely not have a chance to get into this because it's going to be busy being officers and things like that.
Well, we could have also, we have 1 week where we don't have a meeting. That's the 4th.
Well, I'm talking about the new.
Take a vote, please. Let's take a vote, please.
All right, let's just take a vote.
Excuse me.
Let's just take a vote.
The motion on the floor is to table it, so to vote on that, and then you can vote on the motion.
You have to give a time frame. You can't. It has to be table till when?
Till the next strategic planning meeting.
It's not table. It's postponed until the next meeting of the planning committee.
Yeah. Okay, postponed. Okay. And who made the motion? Alex and Robin seconded it, even though you don't need seconds. Is that right?
No, I made the motion.
No, Robin.
Yeah, Robin made the motion. Is that right? Okay.
Yes.
I just am learning your voice, just in time to say goodbye.
I don't think I have a vote on this, right?
You can vote on
it.
Yes, you do. In committee,
some committees I don't have voting. I wasn't sure.
Well, this one you
okay, I can take the vote if you'd like me to.
Yes.
Would you like me to, Alex? Okay.
Yes.
Me, I vote yes. Mansoor, you're on mute. Mansoor.
Yes, I vote yes to
Jan.
Postpone.
Jan.
Yes, to postpone.
Joseph isn't here. Robin?
Yes.
Tony's excused. Nancy?
No.
Alex?
I'm not going to vote.
Abstain. And Maxie?
Yes, to postpone.
Okay. The vote is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 yes. One no and one abstention. The motion passes. Okay.
Then we move on to the next item on our agenda, and that's a discussion of proposed bylaws, kind of a continuation of the previous week's discussion.
I'm going to make a presentation.
Jan, I have to leave. I have another meeting to go to.
Bye,
okay.
Jan.
Bye, Jan.
Bye-bye. Alex, can I make a brief presentation?
Yeah, I was hoping you would.
Okay. And before I do that, let me just say that the minutes that I have that we voted on, and Nancy, could you pay attention to this and see if you agree before we leave the meeting?
Yes.
July 23rd, 2018. August 27th, 2018. September 10th, 2018. October 22nd, 2018. January 15th, 2019, and February 11th, 2019. So if you wrote them down, could you see if there was anything else that was sent out? Because you weren't on the call, but we voted to get a list of the things that were sent out, and we voted to accept the minutes with any necessary corrections. Robin made one-to-one thing, but to the minutes that had been sent out, and we agreed that before the call ended that we would get a list of all the minutes that had been sent out, and that's what I found.
Okay. I think those six are it. There may, I'm just looking
okay.
quickly.
Okay,
I'll look
great.
Quickly, but, yeah.
Okay,
you know.
So let me do a quick thing on bylaws. Right now, we're PNB and the LSBs are in a position to make some major changes in Pacifica's structure because there are two sets of bylaws, and the way bylaws are changed is that you have to have them formally submitted. And then once the PNB votes on them, a time period is triggered for the LSBs to also vote on them. If the PNB votes by majority for any of the bylaw changes, then if three PNBs vote by majority for any of the bylaw changes that the PNB passed, those changes go into effect. There are extensive sets of bylaws that were submitted, I can't remember, December something or other, and they have a lot of separate issues on the size of the boards, the terms of the boards, and I can't find, I once did a summary of what all the things are, and some of the bylaw changes are just kind of cleanup things that are obviously outdated or wrong words or things like that that clearly should be changed. And there are probably a group of things that people would agree to really quickly. In January, there was a set of bylaw submitted that was a comprehensive omnibus package that was submitted with the clear indication that it's, even though it was an omnibus package, that it was submitted with the intent that any of the provisions could be pulled out and passed individually and independently. In that are also a couple of different options in some places for the size of the board. There's also for a different election time frame, different term of office for PNB, and also different ways to amend the bylaws, and also the establishment of an executive committee. So there is a meeting that has been posted of the PNB. There are two meetings, a closed session and an open session for April 4th. And the April 4th one is to consider, and the open session is to consider bylaws and maybe also underwriting. Did we do that too, Alex? I am not listening, looking at the. I'll look at the.
We did not put underwriting. We could still add it because it's we're well more than 7 days prior to the meeting.
Okay, let me look and see what's on there now, so I could tell you what it says. It says Oops, that's March. Next, April. April 4th.
But I don't honestly think there'll be anything for the PNB to do on the writing.
There probably won't be. Right. Okay, so never mind. But anyway, so on the 4th, wait a minute, that's all March. Wait a minute. So that's April. April 4th, meeting list. I go into meeting list, right? 27th, April 4th. There it is. Bylaws and review affiliate status, which was, by the way, to put in, because we had passed something about a separate unit, we were going to have something that put in place and endorsed what Maxie and Ursula and everybody came up with. And then a closed session, which is not, doesn't have the subject matter here, even though I put it on, so I'll have to go back to the calendar. And that was confidential personnel issues. Anyway, so there's a lot between now and April 4th that it would be a good idea for everybody to look at all the bylaws, because there is an opportunity to do some things that would make us much more efficient. And that concludes my report.
Okay. Does anybody have any comments? No? Okay. I just put this item on the agenda mainly to get you all thinking about bylaws amendments. So, all right, let's go on to the next item is new business. Is there any new business? No new business? Then, we are adjourned.
May I, Mansoor?
Yeah.
I wanted to express for having a national meeting of PNB members, GMs, EDs, business managers, to get together, executive director, to come up with a vision for Pacifica 2019 and getting together on a conference call or in person would be expensive, but on a conference call, be it 1 day, 2 day, or 3 days, that's what we used to do. But definitely we need to come up with a plan to what we're going to do for the remaining of the year, what we're going to achieve, what are our goals, and what should we do, how to pay the loan back, all the stuff that we need. Otherwise, we'd be doing just anything and everything that just pop up in front of us. But I would like to propose to having this meeting, and I have sent this idea out to the strategic planning committee, and I believe to the PNB twice. So that's what I would like to discuss. If it's not today, down the road, but having a meeting on the weekend, end of May, beginning of June, if it's possible, or first weekend of June, because KPFK is going to start its fund drive May 1st, and I would not be able to do anything except doing the fund drive stuff. So that's what I would like to see.
Do you want to make that into a motion? We could pass that motion, and it could be taken up at the next regular meeting of the National Board.
Sure, I'm not in front of a computer to write any of these things down, but if you verbally we can agree, then I can write it down for the next meeting. It's just a proposal. I don't wish to make it a motion, just because I think these are part of the best business practices that every other organization and businesses do. They annually meet, they've discussed what they want to achieve for the year, how much increase in their revenue should be, this and that. So it's entirely up to the body.
Yeah, ideally this is a motion that should be brought to the coordinating committee, but I'm not aware that the coordinating committee is actually meeting. Why don't you just prepare it as a motion just to present to the next meeting of the National Board.
Okay, I'll do that.
Mansoor, if I may.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm acting to the stack, sorry.
Go ahead, Maxie.
Yeah, Mansoor, if you want me to assist you in brainstorming a way to execute on that idea, I'd be more than happy. I have some ideas on how we could make it a weekend, five remote venues, but a weekend virtual meetings, if you will.
Yes.
Where we could, and I think we could execute this. It would be unique, but I think it would achieve the purpose of gathering the necessary parties to discuss the future of the organization. So I would love to brainstorm with you if you want to spend some time doing that.
Oh, absolutely. You'll be the bigger part of it, because I wasn't just going to have it just getting together, but it was going to be a very concise gathering with a plan, with an agenda to what needs to be achieved. So, yes, I will reach out to you and we can discuss this thing.
By the way, Zoom is just a wonderful way, if you use video, and it works without as much, or at least KPFA has not had any problem with people falling off or not being heard or being turned off or stuff like that. Although, I don't, you know, anyway, it's you might look at Zoom.
And Carol, before you go, and I know you're terminating out, but part of my idea is to invite some of the people to this gathering as well. So if it gets to be agreed, I would like to invite you. So that's no. It's okay. We'll have a discussion. Okay. All right. I'll work with you and get this thing rolling.
Okay, and I just want to remind everyone, this is actually the last regular meeting of the Strategic Planning Committee of the 2018 Pacifica National Board. I expect the Strategic Planning Committee will be meeting again with the 2019 Pacifica National Board after it convenes on April 11th. I don't know how many of us will be back on the Strategic Planning Committee. I guess, Carol, you will not. But,
right.
Anyway, we'll see you somewhere.
I want to make call to people's attention, and you know, just in case people think it's useful. We did a lot of work to create a survey. That when Tom Livingston was here, with his encouragement to get a sense of what board members think about the ideas for the direction and vision of Pacifica, and it was designed in order to see where we had agreements and where we didn't, and really so that we could build on the agreements. And that, it still exists somewhere. And also we had an initiative that we dropped the ball on national programming. So just a reminder to you folks, that's it. And adios, although we'll be talking on April 4th.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, good night.
Thanks, Carol.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Hello. Well, this must be the wrong. This was the one that didn't work the other night. That's what it is.